The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On the morning of December the 4th, 2016, 22-year-old Eamon Dixon collided head-on with a car carrying a family of six. The collision took place near Dungarvan, County Waterford. The driver, Dixon, and his two passengers died at the scene. Mary Birmingham and her family survived, but they still bear the physical and the psychological scars. Nearly a decade later, a documentary called Impact, Anatomy of a Car Crash, revisits that collision by speaking to the voices of those who survived. And we'll be speaking to one of those in a moment. But first of all, we listen to Mark Kiff, who was the first eyewitness of the collision, talking about the dangerous conditions of Military Road outside Dungarvan, where the accident took place.
The road itself would be fairly undulating. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's actually two bumps, and you would actually feel it, make you feel your tummy kind of raise when you go over it. So there would be blind spots, for want of a better word, that when you're travelling, there could be a car coming against you. You won't see it for a couple of seconds, and then you come over the brow of the hill.
And we listen to Mark again as he explains the scene of the car crash that he came upon.
I looked around and I saw another car faced in the opposite direction. So I ran up to the second car, the silver people carrier. I approached from the driver's side. He looked very much crushed inside it because, like, he was squashed up against the steering wheel and the whole car was compressed up against him. It's like a natural instinct to just kick in that you have to help, you have to call the emergency services.
Whiskey Delta 1-1
after 1-some control, just confirming you're going mobile to an RTC. Present reported on Military Road. It's once in a generation type of a call. You are thinking the worst. You know, you are thinking the worst.
All of a sudden, this little girl came out between the back seats and came into my arms, and the lady in the front said, "Can you get my kids out of the car?"
An extraordinary documentary which airs tonight. It's called Impact, Anatomy of a Car Crash. One of those involved in that crash is Mary Birmingham, and she joins me on the line now. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I watched the documentary yesterday, and I must say it is a phenomenal piece of work, and I think it would affect the driving of any person who sees it. They would certainly drive with more care.
I think that was the aim of it anyway. We were hoping to get as many people as possible to see it and realise there are real people behind all of this and not just statistics, you know.
Now, you bring us back, and I know it's still traumatic for you to recall it, and even the making of the documentary probably brought it right back into your mind and memory. But just remind us of what happened on that morning when you as a family set out.
We set out. There was great excitement. We were going to see. It was supposed to be like, you know, you'd go to this Christmas place and the kids would travel by train through woods and they'd meet Santa and they'd have blankets and hot chocolate. And the kids were so excited. And we all had Christmas jumpers on and we headed off and just normal things. The kids were asking me a couple of times, were we almost there? We were just chatting. The kids were playing games and stuff like that. And just instantly, literally within, we'd like half a second, my eldest daughter screamed, and I'd never heard a scream like that before. And when she screamed, I looked up. I think I was looking into a field, you know, the way you wouldn't kind of know what you're doing at a particular time. But I just looked up, and before I knew it, there was a car right in front of us. I could see the silhouette of three heads, and that was it. It was over. Like, literally within a split second.
It was an undulating road, and therefore the visibility of an oncoming car is not there until too late, really.
No, and even if they were on their own side and they were speeding, you might have had some chance, but because they were on the wrong side of the road anyway, they just hit us head on. We had no time to react, nothing. There was no, you know, there was no time for Gary to take any evasive action or anything. It was just we hit them and no time to think about it or anything, you know, and it was over.
Now, you have four children in the car with you and your son, he has cerebral palsy, so he requires a wheelchair. I mean, this was prior to the accident, and it's extraordinary that he was the one with virtually no injury.
No injury, and all he had to show that he was in that accident was a belt mark, the burn of the belt on his neck. But other than that, you wouldn't have known he was in it at all. When you compare to everybody else with fractured skulls, internal bleeding, broken necks, broken backs, broken legs, broken hands, ribs.
I mean, when I looked at the list, heard the list described by you and by Gary of your injuries, I mean, you had to be really put together again.
Oh, Pat, honestly, if I could tell you now that we went through physical hell and mental anguish, it just, like, I had 6 weeks of just looking at the ceiling. For the break to my sacrum, the only treatment for that is bed rest, and that's 6 weeks completely lying flat, and I couldn't even be put up to even 180 degrees. I just had to lie there. I did everything. I had to go to the toilet in the bed. I had to eat in the bed. My whole life was, at 34 years of age, confined to a bed for 6 weeks before we could start any kind of treatment process or, you know, any kind of recovery or anything like that. So I had 5 surgeries myself.
Now, tell me about your ankle and why the way they treated that was so important to you.
Yeah, my ankle was, I wasn't taken in the enormity of a first, because when they said you'd broken both your legs, and one break was a simple enough break, but my right ankle was crushed completely. So the consultants were saying to me, they normally amputate that. There is no, the ankle bone was gone. I wouldn't have even been able to take weight on it. So I went down and we had the surgery. They opened it and they said they were hopeful that they might be able to fill it with metal plates and they'd have a second surgery and they'd know for sure. So they did. And then I had a third surgery on it and I actually kept my leg. But it's never returned to the size it was. You know, it's bigger than my other leg. I was never able to wear shoes and stuff, normal shoes. It's always trainers or something flat. You know, it changed my life completely. It was a full year before I actually could fit a shoe on that foot, even.
It was important that you would be ambulatory because you'd be required to push the wheelchair for your son. Regularly.
You know, that was literally at the top of my mind. I was saying, how can I be without my leg? I can't. I'm a carer. I push. At the time, he was 13. He's 22 now. So I was saying, how would I be able to look after him? That was my main priority. I just couldn't imagine my life, you know, coming out with one leg and trying to manage and look after him as well. I couldn't let that enter my head. It wasn't an option for me. I had to fight and hope that they'd keep my leg, you know.
Now, the impact on Gary, your husband, I mean, when you show a still, the documentary shows a still of him in hospital, and it's like something out of a war zone.
Oh my God, Gary didn't know what was going on. He woke up and he'd no recollection of it. And do you know, Pat, he was in intensive care for a long time. And when he did come down to the ward, I was in an observation ward and he was a couple of doors down from me. I could hear him screaming in pain. I'd be lying in the bed because I couldn't move for 6 weeks. I wasn't allowed to sit up or anything. So I could hear him screaming from the rooms down. And I said, if you could think of absolute hell and torture, he went through it with pain. And he's still going through it to this day. Nearly 9 years in.
Now, what about the girls? How serious were their injuries?
Starting with my eldest girl, she tore her intestines and her spleen and she damaged her eye and she broke her collarbone. So she was in Waterford. She was the only one not brought back to Cork. And she was in an awful way because she didn't know if her family had even survived, and she was panicking up there, and then she had her surgery and that was an absolute horrible time for her as well. And my Thomas, thankfully, had no injuries and he was discharged the same day from hospital. And then the next one down, she had been playing with an iPad in the car at the time. She was playing a couple of games on that. And the iPad actually flew like a missile in the car and landed back down, hit her on the head, and it fractured her skull, crossed her eyes from the impact, and she broke her neck as well. And then I had my little girl, she was 7, and she had fractured her pelvis, and she actually came out. She was in the very back seats of the people carrier, and she actually was taking people's seatbelts off and coming up into people's arms. And she was telling me that her big sister was falling asleep all the time, and she was telling me what was happening in the car, you know, for the little size of her.
Now, enormous thanks go to the emergency services. I mean, even talking about the way they don't take the patient out of the car, they cut the car away from the patient in order to ensure no subsequent injuries can take place. But they were remarkable in ensuring that all of you lived.
Pat, from the moment I heard the sirens in the distance, I started to feel a little bit of hope in the car, because I felt like I was in there so long. And then I felt a wave of water just hit over our car. And from then, when their faces appeared at the side of the window to me, I will never forget the kindness. Those men, like, what they have to witness in an accident like that. And they were so kind to me. And, you know, they were explaining everything as they went along. They were reassuring my children. I couldn't even thank them men enough for what they did that day. I just couldn't. There was a young guy put with me, and he was holding my oxygen for me, and he kept talking to me, and he was telling me to open my eyes, keep my eyes open. And he was so young, and I could see it in his eyes, you know, the fear in his face. And I just couldn't believe they do that job, and then they have to process all that themselves. They have families and kids too. And the scenes they come upon, I couldn't put into words how much I owe them men my whole life.
Now, the oncoming car on the wrong side of the road at speed, the three young men, and they were young men, in that accident, they died at the scene. Yeah. The car was incinerated, a tragedy for each of those families. The driver, of course, was 4.5 times over the limit and had other drugs in his system, including cocaine. You know, unconscionable, really, that they should have been in charge of a vehicle, even though the distress for the families is, you know, to lose a family member in any circumstance is appalling.
Well, look, Pat, he paid the ultimate price. He lost his life. And it was bad choices, I think. And he's so young, he's 22. My son is 22 now. And I look at him and I think, you know, he's still my baby to me. And I can't put into words. I don't have animosity to them. I did when I was in pain and I was, you know, I was bitter about the accident and stuff, but they paid the ultimate price with their lives, and they've destroyed families. They've destroyed their own families. I can imagine it's a ripple effect.
And the trauma is still with you. I mean, it's watching the documentary, it's quite clear, and talking to you now, it's quite clear that a day probably doesn't go by without in some way revisiting all of this, whether it's driving along the road, seeing bad driving, hearing a siren, whatever it might be.
Oh, Pat, honestly, I wish I could delete that bit from my mind, but you can't. The mind is a funny thing. When the accident happened first and I was in hospital, I had no control over it physically. My body and my mind was reliving the accident over and over. When I was asleep, the nurses kept coming over to me and giving me a shake because my eyes wouldn't close. This is how much now the mind holds things. With the shock, my eyes wouldn't close, and I was asleep with my eyes wide open. Imagine the fright people looking at that. And my whole body was like a roller coaster. I'd come to a thud and I'd be awake. And to this day, 8 years on, it's the physical stuff that keeps you thinking about it. The pain in my leg on a particular day, my back wouldn't be the best at all. And it's those kind of things. And then I'm looking at the physical scars. And every time I take a photograph, I hide my right leg. My right leg is always behind me. And it's something I do now without even noticing. But it's just, it kind of never leaves you because it's always there as a reminder. In a way, it's your mind keeping you safe, hoping you won't go through that kind of trauma again. But the human mind's very funny. It holds onto things, and trauma in particular.
Well, Mary, I would recommend everyone watch this documentary. I mean, it's not always an easy watch because of its content, but I think it's a salutary learning for anyone who watches it as to how we should mind ourselves on the road. And of course, you are completely blameless, nothing to do with you. And it was another road user who brought about all of this.
It was, and, you know, I had the guilt of why I booked it in the first place, but I'm trying to kind of not think of it that way. I know the end of the story. My children are still here, and I thank God. I don't know how, but we all survived. And when I left hospital first, Pat, we all slept in the one bed, myself and my kids. I was home in March. We left for the day trip in December. And when I came home, myself and my four children slept in the one bed. And I just thank God, the damage that a car can do, like, oh my God, you just don't believe it, how easy it can happen as well. We were just out for a Sunday, a day trip.
A day trip.
A normal family, like people do every single day, you know, and this mad event happened to us, and a car can do so much damage, and I don't think people realise that, you know. And there are worse things than dying as well, Pat, and I don't mean that as any kind of insult to people who've passed away in car accidents. You could be left, like I said, 34 years of age and I needing help in the toilet, used to running, being fit, and then all of a sudden I couldn't go to the bathroom on my own. You know, there are things, and yeah. Gary had to go to a care home as well. Gary was 6 months in a care home being looked after because he couldn't come home. He just couldn't. He was in too bad a way.
Well, Mary, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. And it's available on RTE tonight. It's called Impact, The Anatomy of a Car Crash. I just want to say, if anyone has been impacted by anything mentioned in my conversation with Mary, you can contact Irish Roads Victim Association Helpline at 086 863 4194. 086 863 4194.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.